If someone comes to you with a big problem, it's natural to want to step in and support them. But you might find that hard if you feel like you're taking on someone else's problems. Why are some people more sensitive to the emotions of others? And is there a healthy way to empathise without feeling like you're being weighed down by a loved one's baggage? Rachel Sampson is our guest today. She's a clinical psychologist based in Adelaide. Rachel, welcome to Life Matters.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Now, you've done a lot of work with highly sensitive people, which I didn't realise was an actual term. How often do you hear people, though, describe themselves enthusiastically as an empath?
Quite common. So I think that the idea of being an empath is a lot more appealing to people than describing themselves as sensitive. I think we live in a culture that typically associates sensitivity with weakness. And so the idea of being highly empathic, I think, appeals to people a lot more than being sensitive.
And is it an actual kind of medically defined condition?
Being an empath?
Yes.
No. So being an empath is more of what we would call a pop psychology term. So it's an idea about psychology that becomes popular in the mainstream, and people kind of run with it despite there being a lack of research evidence supporting it. Whereas being highly sensitive is a scientific term, and there's a whole lot of research around high sensitivity.
Yes, when I think of empath, I think of Star Trek, so that's not helpful at all. But I guess it does illuminate the kind of the social perceptions around.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Rachel, perhaps it would be helpful to define what we mean by sensitivity and empathy here.
Absolutely. So empathy is really the ability to attune to what someone else is feeling and metaphorically step into someone else's shoes or skin. So it's really the ability to relate to what the other is experiencing. When we talk about high sensitivity, we're actually talking about a biologically based temperament trait, which is associated with four main characteristics, and that is that highly sensitive people tend to think about things much more deeply. So there's a greater capacity for sort of processing information coming in from the environment. There is a higher emotional intensity and greater empathy, and that often leads to a proneness to becoming overwhelmed or overstimulated. And then the fourth characteristic is that there's this greater capacity to sense subtleties in the environment or notice minor details that most people tend to miss.
So are they useful survival traits?
Most definitely. And there is an evolutionary argument that would say that it's useful for a certain percentage of a population of any species to have highly sensitive members, because if you think about, a situation that might be dangerous or threatening, we want some people who are able to detect that threat earlier than the majority of the group and then alert everyone else to that threat or danger.
I imagine it could be handy to have people who can connect well with others too and understand how they're feeling.
Most definitely. I think the world needs a lot more of that at the moment, to be honest.
Yep, right now. We're speaking with Rachel Sampson, clinical psychologist based in Adelaide, about highly sensitive people and our tendency to think of that as related to empathy and favouring the term empath or being highly empathetic over highly sensitive. Do we know, Rachel, how many people in our population are highly sensitive? Is it possible to get hard figures?
Yeah, it is. And for a long time, the research showed that around 20% of the human population was highly sensitive. And that finding has been replicated in a lot of animal research. So we know that around 100 other species of animals also have around 20% of the population being highly sensitive.
Animals?
Yes, 100 other species of animals.
Which ones?
It's not just a human thing. Everything from pigs, different insects, dogs, pretty much you name it, most species will have some highly sensitive members.
Wow, that's really, really interesting.
Yes, it is. Even flies.
Flies?
Yes.
How do you tell a sensitive fly, I wonder? That's a PhD for another day.
Yeah, outside my area of expertise.
Well, I mean, if it does have these useful aspects to it, being highly sensitive on a population level, why do people come to you, Rachel, and need help?
Yeah, so part of being highly sensitive, or I guess what we see is underpinning a lot of the traits associated with high sensitivity, is a really reactive and sensitive central nervous system. And so highly sensitive people and animals are much more responsive to the environment around them. And so what that means is that in environments that are optimal, for highly sensitive people, they tend to flourish and actually outperform their less sensitive peers. But in adverse, harsh, unsupportive environments, highly sensitive people are disproportionately likely to experience mental health problems and perform a lot lower than their less sensitive peers. So there's really this, I guess, being sensitive for better and for worse, and so much of it depends on the environment that you're in.
And what kind of environments are supportive for highly sensitive people?
So if we start in childhood, highly sensitive children are especially affected by the parenting environment. So what's optimal for highly sensitive kids is really sensitive, nurturing parenting styles, as opposed to sort of harsh or authoritarian styles. But it's everything, including physical aspects of the environment. So, you know, lighting being too harsh, environments that are chaotic or too noisy, anything where there's a lot of kind of sensory input coming in can be overwhelming for the highly sensitive person. So
wow.
Often a low stimulating environment is optimal.
That sounds like a lot of people's houses during homeschooling. So I
send
my thoughts
exactly.
out to you. Rachel, the word sensitive has carried a bit of baggage over the years, hasn't it? I mean, the traits that you're describing could be applied to what people might have characterised as histrionic teenagers. What kinds of people do you see coming to seek help for this?
I think because, I guess, community awareness is growing around this trait, thanks to the internet and Facebook groups and things like that, we see anyone from parents who've identified that their children are highly sensitive. We have highly sensitive adolescents self-referring, and, of course, a whole range of adults as well. And the trait is present in equal numbers of males and females. So there's just as many sensitive boys and men coming in for therapy as there are women and girls.
And what's your advice for people who are trying to manage how they interact with other people and with their environment so that they don't get overwhelmed, whether that's in a kind of relationship sense or an environmental sense?
Yeah, so usually the first step is awareness. So although people might be aware that they're highly sensitive, it's often something that they have stumbled across recently and then kind of from there go on to engage in therapy. So usually really learning a lot about the trait and how that person's nervous system responds to the world is a really important first step. But once we get past that, then it's having a look at the person's current life circumstances and different situations that might be kind of overwhelming for them or overstimulating, and ways that they might be able to reduce those situations in their life so that they're less likely to become overwhelmed and more able to achieve that balance.
And what might that look like on a day-to-day basis if you're in an office, say, or just a noisy household?
Yeah, so often highly sensitive people will need more rest breaks than the average person, and that's something that I strongly advocate people being really assertive about, whether it's in a workplace or a home environment. And then it's also things like modifying physical aspects of the environment. So I will often recommend that people who are sensitive to noise will get noise-cancelling headphones. Sometimes people will be able to move position of their desk or office so that they're not kind of in a thoroughfare or right in the middle of traffic in the office. Little things like that can be really important. And also letting other people in your world know that this is a thing for you so that they're also able to identify when you're getting overstimulated and able to respect and support you with that.
Well, let's hope that acknowledgement and acceptance of all kinds of neurodiversity keeps increasing, and this is included
exactly.
too. Rachel, thank
exactly.
you. Yeah. Thanks so much for chatting with us today. I've learned a lot.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Rachel Sampson, clinical psychologist based in Adelaide. Highly sensitive people. There you go. You can go and look it up and see if there are safeguards that might make your life easier in a noisy or overwhelming environment.